the whole contention of this great destruction of the Creator was not because he was doing wrong, but because they had pride. They did not want to see. They were already establishing their religion. They wanted the perks. They wanted the what they could get out of it. That was not Jesus' idea. Jesus' idea or Jesus' mind was this: I will glorify my Heavenly Father. Anytime you see a religion upset about people that are doing well or getting something or getting better, you just better consider that that's a counterfeit or a cult. We see today the Muslims that are trying so hard to eradicate, and to think that they call us the, what do they call us?
Infidels.
We're the infidels. Good night. If there's ever infidel in all the world, it's Muslims. Amen. You talk about infidelity. They are the true, but it is amazing how that they will yell and scream and kill and plunder and take advantage and ruin for peace-loving people that just want to be left alone and do our own thing. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Lord Jesus Christ came here for one reason. He came here to seek and to save that was lost. He came here to glorify his Heavenly Father. If I, as a person, want to glorify myself, or my engagement in this world is that people would lift me up, I've certainly lost what Jesus Christ had for me in my whole realm of my life. That's why I've been preaching on forgiveness. I wrote a note down to myself. Forgiveness can only come to you from the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it in yourself. You cannot work it up. You can't conjure it up. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot forgive a person without the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life. It will not work. That comes from God. Can you imagine? Here he is, the creator of this universe. He knows who he is. He came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived on this earth, and did everything right. Do you know that Jesus Christ kept the Ten Commandments? Every one of them. He never failed once. He never had a fit. He never, like some of us do, to throw a fit. Y'all know what a throw a fit is, don't you? If you don't, that's one when you get done with it, your mom will pound you. Amen. But he never threw a fit. He was righteous. He had righteous indignation when he saw the people at the temple buying and selling. He said, "This is the house of prayer. This is not a place that you're to sell your stuff, junk." Amen. He was always righteous. He was also always perfect. He was also humble. He was also meek and mild. He wasn't looking for a fight. But he did what he was supposed to do. And in that, you see these scriptures coming out where verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." Says, why don't you do something about it? Somebody got up there and do something about it. You know, how can he go against God? Have you ever gone against God? Oh yeah, yes we have. We've gone against God. We've tried, and I'll guarantee you, we've all failed at it. We don't do a very good job at that. God has the perfect mind. He knows exactly not only what we did, but he knows something else that none of us knows: why we did it. If somebody does something, you do not know why they did it. Some of us are the target of people who are so upset about life and things are not going good, and you just happen to be close to it and you get hit. It's not because they hate you, and it's not because many times in a family, a husband and wife have an argument. She may have some physical problems, and she needs to go see the doctor, and she needs to go get a checkup, and she needs to get some things taken care of. I've counseled many marriages, and many times it is a medical problem, a physical problem. It's not a spiritual problem. Some are having mental problems. First of all, the mental problem was, what in the world did you marry him? Are you crazy? But anyway, many times in life, there are some physical problems. And I'll inadvertently, if you've ever been in my office and you're having some problems, inadvertently say, when's the last time you had a checkup? When's the last time you go see a doctor? And that usually ruffles the feather and say, wow, I'm not sick. A lot of problems happen to us is not because of, we're just too close, Somebody starts swinging the ball back, you just happen to be too close, you bang down the head because of it, amen? It wasn't intended for you to get whacked. But since you're close to it, you're going to get whacked. We all have aggression. I don't care who you are. All of us have some kind of aggression. Some may have a very, very long fuse. And it just keeps smoldering, 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 and all. Blows up on you. Then the other ones are just smoke, boom. Wow, that was cool. And usually those people who will blow up real quick, they get over it. They kiss and hug and get over it and get on with life. But there's other ones that smolder and smolder and more. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, take years to get over that thing. That's where we come into the fact about our forgiveness. Let us be quick to forgive. Quit milking it. Let us be quick to forgive. Let's be the first one. Get up to home plate. And let's be the first one to forgive. Life is hard enough in this world, let alone have someone angry at us. And there's a reason some people are angry at us, because of our number 23. If you want to look down line, 23 is stupidity. But anyway. And, should have done it. Some of us don't learn. Or some of us are very forgetful. Some of us do things and hurt somebody's feeling, but we got a whole bunch of other things going on in life, so we forget that we're not very careful to be around that person. I'll be honest with you, I don't like to be around people like that. They're easily offended. You say, well, they got a problem. Yeah, I know, but so do I for not remembering them, amen. It's hard to walk circumspectly around those kind of people. Because they've got mine fields all around them. And if you just say one thing, if you say another thing, and you're going to say, good night. I guess that's why Paul said that we should live peaceably with all men, if at all possible. Life is difficult, let alone having somebody that's always critiquing you. Let me remind you, when you get married, the critiquing is over. If you're number 23, that's stupidity, to marry someone without checking out background. You know, my daddy said, you know, son, I just don't understand some of these people that marry certain people. I said, what do you mean, daddy? I was a teenager. He said, well, he said, if I'm going to go and buy myself some animals, I'm going to check on the background. I'm going to see how they produce. If they got a lame leg, I'm not going to buy one that I don't want that on my farm. He said, I just don't understand. He said, guys go out and go to a barn, find some woman about 2 o'clock in the morning when everybody looks pretty. I'm amazed how many people smiled at that. And bring her home. Marry her. Get hitched up with her, amen. And after about a year, say, man, that wasn't a very good deal. And be a real man, you stay with it, amen. Or be a real girl, you stay with it. Amen? Well, you probably made a promise. You made a commitment. Let me give you a hint. If you're young and looking for a man or looking for a lady, let me tell you something. Number one, it is not the job of your mom and daddy to pick it. But it should be your job to be willing to give your mom and dad veto power over it and say, you know, I just don't think she's what you need. Remember, mommy and daddy have given their life for you for the last 18 or 20-some years. And they know a lot more than you know, whether you like it or not. And if my dad would have told me, or my mom, and my mom did tell me one time, I'm really serious. I'm serious. I said, man, this is it. And I brought this gal home, and thought she was at our house about a day or two. And on the farm, and my mom said, she pulled me aside. She said, I don't think she's the one for you, is she? Well, that was news to me. She sang in one of our ensembles for the college, went all over. She was a choir, a beautiful singer, and just on and on and on. I mean, you couldn't ask. New scripture and a good family. But my mama said, I don't think she's the right one for you, is she? You said, what'd you do? I took her home. He said, you let your mom? Hey, buddy, I'm spoiled brat. My mama loves me. Anything I want, my mama used to even make my bed and clean up my dirty underwear off the floor. My mama used to wash my clothes and even polish my shoes and make sure that I had something good to eat. Are you telling me that I'm not going to listen to that woman who almost died to have me? Literally, my mom was 4'11". 120 pounds wringing wet, and I was 9 pounds, 6.5 pounds baby. She about died out of me. And for my mama to tell me, are you kidding me? Listen, they're out there to help you, amen. They're out there to help you. They really are. They really want to help you. Listen. Give them veto power. Give him veto power. She says, I'm going to say, boogada boogada, I'm out of there, amen. You say, you crazy? Yeah, look what I got. When I met her and I brought her home, flew her home from Minnesota to Michigan, it took about an hour and a half. And my mama said, boy, she's the one for you, amen. You know why? She was out there helping mama in the kitchen. She was out doing things like girls are supposed to do, not be hanging on and drooling on. And my daddy said, don't you dare let that little Norwegian get away from you. That took her care of it, amen. So, in our lives, we make some decisions. And it's best if we make the right decisions. And we're very careful about the decision because in that, there comes this thing we call forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ, all through this, and you see it, he kept forgiving. But that forgiveness is going to stop.
Verse 37.
But though he had done so many miracles before them, John said, if all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did were written in the book, there would not be room enough to find a place to put all those books and all the information that he's given to them. That's God's promise to you. So look at what these people did. Did they see miracles? Did they see lame people walking in? Did they see the people that had demons cast out of them? Did you see people that couldn't hear now hear? Did you see people that couldn't speak, now they can speak? Did you see the lunatics that know all around lunatics? Did you see the leper changed? Yes. But look at what the Bible says. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. How sad. Here he comes, Palm Sunday. Right on the coal of an ass. Josephus, first century historian, said probably about 2 million people in Jerusalem at that time, because it was the law that God had made towards Israel that once a year they were to come to Jerusalem to gather for the Passover. And they were there. The Galileans were coming down. They came out of Bethany and they were coming down, and they were following Jesus. They were enthralled by what they had just saw, because there was a man whose name was Lazarus, a very well man, very well known man in Bethany. He had two very well known daughters that were daughters of the night. Their lives have completely changed. They're coming to Jerusalem, and Jesus is coming to the feast. And they're following. Many, many people are following him. They get to Bethpage, which is kind of like coming over the top of the hill, like we would come over Haver and overlook Great Falls, or come over off Highway 15 off Gore Hill by the airport, and we'll look down. Here's our city, or go over by around by FedEx, and there's our magnificent city. And as they come, they're excited, and they're yelling, and they're hollering, and they're worshiping this Jesus on a coal of an ass. And it is a great spectacle. Now are the people coming down with Jesus, but there's about 2 million people that are in the city. Don't tell me the word didn't get out that Jesus was coming, because people knew about Jesus. And why was he hated? Because the world is gone after him. And it was all in preparation for this time that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross and shed his blood, shed his innocent blood, so that you and I could have heaven someday. What a great deal. What a wonderful deal. We're to glorify God. We're not here for me. We're not here for you. We're here for Jesus. We're here that we may work together to get this community of Great Falls and the county of Cascade and the state of Montana and the United States and the world. We're here to win them to Jesus Christ. It's not about us. Which brings us back to the forgiveness. If something happens and somebody says something ugly or unkind to me, how important is that? I guess you got to ask yourself, how important am I? How important are you? I would suspect the most, when you're the most important, is that you would be willing to forgive. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about getting the word out. Can you imagine the churches in our country that have been through the battles and been through the fights in church, and many of them seen it, and families split off, and families go here and families go there because some old Aunt Gertrude got mad at Aunt Gladys, or somebody got mad at the preacher, or somebody got mad at that. It ain't about us. It's about winning the world to Jesus Christ. If it was about, Jesus said, it's not about me. He said, I will glorify my Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about. And by the way, I just want to remind you, I want to take you back to this. Forgiveness can only come from the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it yourself. There are things that people are going to hurt you and people say about you. They're going to speculate. They're going to prostitute your name. They're going to do everything they can because it, I don't know, gives them a high or something. I don't know what it is. I guess so that they can look better. You cannot forgive that unless the Holy Spirit is in your heart and your life. You can't live it because you get awful mad. And when you get mad, you're not going to get back. You're going to get better. You're going to really hurt them. Kind of like somebody at college when somebody does a prank to you, and then you just raise the prank up a little bit more. It's like at work when somebody starts screwing with you and messing with you. It'll go for a while, then all of a sudden what will happen? Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody may even lose a life or may lose their job. And it all started off with something really stupid. Somebody playing a trick or somebody, whatever. And you've been there. All of you have been there. But the idea is, as a church, Heritage Baptist Church, we want to be very careful that we're always in the forgiving mode because we do not want to destroy or hurt one opportunity that we have to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't want to destroy that. I've seen it so many times. Well, she said this, he said that, they said it. Yeah, right. The Bible said tenderhearted forgiving one another as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. We've all did stupid stuff. We've all thought of things. Jesus said, if you think on a woman, you're as guilty as the man that did it. So you better be careful where you put yourself in, and you better be careful where you start thinking how good or how important or how wonderful you are. You better realize that, hey, you know what? Jesus says, you forgive others, and I'll forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I will not, absolutely not, forgive you. That ought to make you swallow real deep. You have no idea what's coming in your life the next few years. You have no idea what's coming in the next week or tomorrow. You have no idea what's going on. But I would be very careful that I would pray the Holy Spirit and say, dear God, give me the forgiveness I need. Because I can't do this in myself. Because I'm proud. You know why most people won't sing behind this pulpit? Because they're proud, because they're afraid they may make a mistake. Do you know why I didn't play my trumpet for a long time? Because I was afraid of making a mistake and people laugh. And they did. I remember in high school, I'd get up and play, and I worked hard at it, but I made a few mistakes. And and so I quit playing my trumpet. You know why I quit playing my trumpet? Because I was proud. Now I don't play my trumpet because I don't want to make a mistake and make it not look good for the Lord Jesus Christ. and I'd bring a shame to him. But when I was younger, the reason I didn't play, because I didn't want to make a mistake in front of people and they'd laugh at me. And I can still see them, Mike and Doug and Pat and Dwayne. They'd laugh at me when I make a mistake. And they had no idea my heart was to play for the Lord. So you may be that person that may hurt that person. You may say something really not right. You know, usually in church, it's not time to joke at people's problems. All the time. Somebody's battery just ran run dry, so I better quit, amen. Father, bless this time. Help us, Lord Jesus, that forgiveness and only come through the Holy Spirit of God. We cannot work it up. We can't do it ourselves. We need you, Lord. So bless this time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight. I'm saying, preacher, I really want to glorify the Heavenly Father. I really want to do more for Him. I've failed so many times. I need your help. Maybe you're here tonight and said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm sure I'm on my way to heaven. I certainly want to do that. I want to be saved tonight. Whatever it be, I'll guarantee you there's a God in heaven that loves you so much. He's given everything He can for you so that you would come to Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Good answer. Going to stand. Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us tonight, Lord, to be with this time of invitation. It would be a blessing and help and encouragement to our people. In Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, why don't you just let me show you from God's Word how you can know for sure you're on the way to heaven. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I've been saved, I haven't followed the Lord and believe in baptism, you come. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I need God's help.